All of us have and need heroes who will inspire us. So looking at the American Heritage Dictionary, going back to my college days, the hero is defined as follows. A person noted for feats of courage or nobility of purpose, especially one who has risked or sacrificed his life. A person prominent in some event, field, period, or caused by reason of his special achievements or contributions. Heroes inspire us. They help us persevere to attain a goal, to model our lives after them. I'm sure with the Olympics going on, many of our young athletes in our congregation are inspired by, for instance, the achieving triumphs or the swimming triumphs of Michael Phelps, or the gymnastic triumphs of Simone Biles. For myself, I remember back when I was a teenager, not too long ago, how great individuals inspired me to become a priest. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Billy Graham. And then in entering the seminary, Pope John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, always inspired me to become a better priest. And so, my brothers and sisters, all of us have and need good heroes. St. Paul reminds us, though, that we have superheroes that are called saints. In our second passage from Hebrews, he says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. These are all the saints, living heroes for us. They kept the faith. They really lived that Christ-like life. They gave their all to Jesus Christ. They lived in every time and age. They faced all the different circumstances, just like we do, and yet they persevered. As St. Paul says, they kept their eyes fixed on Christ. They ran the race. These heroes, these saints, are powerful intercessors for us. They're praying for us. They're giving us their example. They want to help us get to heaven. Pope St. John Paul II said, the saints have always been the source and origin of renewal, even in the most difficult moments of church history. Keep in mind, these saints do not distract us from Christ. No, these saints help us to grow closer to Christ. Again, they're giving us the good example. They're giving us the prayerful assistance that we need. They want us to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Now, for example, Simone Biles. Here's this wonderful gymnast. I recently learned she was raised by her grandparents. She's a Catholic. She goes to Mass every Sunday. She says the rosary regularly. She said that before she begins a competition, she pauses to pray. Oftentimes, she'll even take with her statue of Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of athletes. What a great example for any young person today. It's not just relying on ourselves or even our fellow human beings. We have the saints to help us. Today, we look at a very special saint who really should inspire all of us. Today's the 75th anniversary of the martyrdom of St. Maximilian Kolbe. So take our minds back to 1894. He was born in Poland. As a young man, he was very devout. He even had a vision of Our Blessed Mother, and she presented him with two crowns, a white crown for purity, a red crown for martyrdom. She said, which one do you choose? He said, I choose both. Well, with that in mind, he entered the Franciscans, was ordained as a priest. Being especially devoted to Our Blessed Mother, he founded what was called the Knights of Mary Immaculate. They had a journal as well as an organization that circulated through the world. For a little while, he was a missionary in Japan, but because of ill health, he returned to Poland in the mid-1930s. But in 1939, trouble came. Hitler's panzers in September rolled across the border of Poland, and Poland fell. The Nazis began an extreme persecution of the church. Thousands of priests and religious were arrested, and sent to the concentration camps. In 1941, in the spring, St. Maximilian himself was arrested and he was sent to Auschwitz. There he was treated like a work animal. Nevertheless, he never forgot his dignity as a priest. So he, as best he could, would give counseling. When he could find some smuggled in bread and wine, he would have mass for his fellow prisoners in the cell block. At nighttime, he would go from the different bunk to bunks and ask people simply, "Can I do anything for you? I'm a Catholic priest." Zygmunt Gorson, who was a young Polish Jew who knew St. Maximilian and was present for St. Maximilian's canonization, said this. He said, "To me, Father Maximilian was a father, brother, confessor, savior. We used to talk about the Polish homeland and the goodness of man. He didn't hate the Nazis, and he taught me not to hate. The little food he had, he shared with me. Even though he was starving and his lips were swollen with hunger, he often gave his food away to others. I will always believe, as long as I live, that I survived and preserved my sanity because of St. Maximilian Kolbe. Other kids went berserk and would throw themselves against the electric fence, but he helped me keep my sanity." Well, one day, July 30th, 1941, a prisoner from the cell block escaped. So all the others were taken outside and they had to stand in formation all day long on a day like today, as hot as today. By the end of the day, they realized there would be no chance of retrieving this escaped prisoner. So the assistant commandant, Fritsch, just went through and selected 10. Imagine that, standing there in formation and having this commandant just point and say, "You, you, 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 off to the starvation bunker." But that's what happened. One of the selectees, a young Polish sergeant who had a wife and two kids, begged for mercy. There was no mercy to be given. With that, St. Maximilian stepped forward, and that in itself was a risk to his very life. The commandant said to him, "What do you want, Polish pig?" And St. Maximilian said, "I want to exchange my life for that man's." The commandant said, "Why?" St. Maximilian said, "Because I'm a Catholic priest." And with that, a grunt, a nod, the exchange was made. So the 10 prisoners were taken to the starvation bunker, which was below, really, the torture chambers of Auschwitz. There they were stripped naked, put in a cell about 12 by 12 feet. There's a little window, maybe 16 inches across, 8 inches down. That was it for ventilation. The bathroom was a bucket. That's it. The iron door closed, and they were left there to starve to death. During the course of 14 days, the guards admitted that they heard the groanings and the cries, but they also heard the recitation of the rosary, other prayers. They heard the singing of hymns. On August 14, 1941, the iron door opened. Only one was alive, and that was St. Maximilian Kolbe. He was saying a rosary. So they injected carbolic acid into his arm, and they finished his life on this earth. But the guards, including the prison guards who had to remove the bodies, said that St. Maximilian had an expression of joy on his face. There was a radiance of Christ. One of the SS guards later said, "This priest is really a great man. We have never seen anyone like him." Another prisoner commented, "His death was a shock that filled us with hope, bringing new life and strength. It was like a powerful shaft of light in the darkness of this camp." My brothers and sisters, we look at this great hero, this witness of faith, and we ought to be inspired. Consider the gospel, because his life and the life of any of the saints helps us understand what Jesus said today in the gospel. Jesus said, "I've come to set a fire on this earth," not a destructive fire, a fire of God's love. Jesus came to bring that fire of love that really illuminates the truth and goodness of God, how He wants us to live life as one made in His image and likeness. Christ poured forth this fire of love when He went to that cross and offered forgiveness of sin, and even said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." He brought that fire of love when He conquered death, when He rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Christ Himself gives us the fire of God's love. That fire came down upon the apostles at Pentecost and filled them so that they would go out and set this world ablaze. Think of that. We're here because of what those apostles did. It was like a spark that caught fire to the Roman Empire, and conversion came. Well, my brothers and sisters, we need to remember, in our world today, even though at times it might seem so dark, we're called to be on fire with the love of our Lord. We're called to be like those saints. And so we're called to bear witness to the truth of Almighty God that has been revealed to us. We're called to live our lives with that sacrificial, forgiving kind of love. This is our life, because then we shatter the darkness. Is it going to be easy? No. And Jesus says that. Division's going to come. Because our Lord didn't come to bring a false peace where I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay, think whatever you want. No, He came to bring a love that's founded on truth. Because only with truth and love can there be real justice. And only with justice can there be real peace. That's what Christ gives us. But if we're a Christian, and we really believe that, we have to be ready for division, for rejection, just as our Lord faced. For instance, when we think of a good Catholic politician in our world today who promotes the sanctity of human life, won't he find rejection, ridicule, criticism? Absolutely. If a student goes to school, especially high school or college, and defends things like the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, will not that student find rejection? I had a student 2 years ago, graduated from our eighth grade, went to Thomas Jefferson High School, that great technology school, was in civics class. The teacher said, "Well, how many of you agree with the Supreme Court decision about anyone can get married, the two men, two women, and so on?" He's the only one that had the courage to raise his hand and said, "I believe marriage is between a man and a woman." Well, a kid from the other side of the room threw a book at him. Who got in trouble? The Catholic student. The other kid was reprimanded. You shouldn't throw books at kids. But he was reprimanded because he was intolerant. He had to withdraw from that school. But that's what we face in life. Or I know a priest, he's now deceased, but when he decided to become a Catholic and to become a priest, he was disowned by his family. How many of you have relatives that have lost the faith? And when you go to visit them, they criticize the church. They may even criticize you for going to Mass. Don't get discouraged. Be the light of Christ, the light that brings the love, real love, that forms justice, that brings peace. That's what Maximilian Kolbe did. And to prove it, I mentioned that SS guard. After the war, because of what he had seen, he returned to his Catholic faith, was reconciled with God and the church, spent the rest of his life doing penance, and lived a good Christian life. If it weren't for St. Maximilian, would that have ever have happened? Yes, he had been a slave because he bought in to the evil ideology of Hitler. And many people are slaves because they buy into the evil ideology of today. But we have to be the lights that bring the fire of God's love. If we went to St. Maximilian's cell at Auschwitz, and I was there a few years ago, and I prayed for the grace to be a good priest, there's a paschal candle that stays lit. So here's this dark cell where such a horrible thing happened, but there's that one flame still burning brightly. That was St. Maximilian, but that's what we're called to be. Not to curse the darkness, but to light the flame of Christ's love. We're called to be the saints. And with their help, we can be. May God bless you.